Welcome back to Box 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 Pod. What are we talking about this week, Sam?
We are talking about Christian Horner and his departure from Red Bull Racing.
We're also going to be diving deep into the F1 movie with all the spoilers. So if you haven't seen it already,
tough shit.
Fuck off.
We're also going to be talking about the future of Red Bull and the future of Max Verstappen.
It's all so, in the air.
I'm not glad we have recorded basically a metric shitload of episodes back to back.
I was going to say in the last 48 hours.
It's just been straight episodes. We're trying to catch up so we can have a small little break.
We've got some... We're in the middle of the summer break now, aren't we?
So we're trying to basically fill some time so you guys don't miss out on episodes, but so we can go and have a nap. Yeah. Anyway, right.
Stay relevant.
Big energy, come on. Hype yourself up.
I need a record.
First things first. I mean, we put content out last week when this episode airs.
So
about obviously Christian's fucking gone.
Christian's departure from Red Bull.
I mean,
what the heck?
What the hell, man? What the hell? I feel it's one of those ones where for me, with Horner and Red Bull, obviously, we spoke about it.
Well, Horner's been part of Red Bull pretty much since day one. So he's quite important to the Red Bull machine.
He is, like, got to stay hydrated these days. But yeah, it really is. He's an iconic part, whether you like him or don't like him.
I don't like him, but anyway.
No, that's not the point I'm making, Dominic. The point I'm making is whatever your opinion of him, you can't take away the fact he's been an influential part of Red Bull as a team.
To be honest, part of the entire sport. I think as much as I'm not a big fan of him.
I mean, a lot of it, some of it probably isn't for the best of positives, but...
Yeah, there's some, but there's some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly, and... Yeah.
I mean, obviously there was...
He does like it spicy though, doesn't he? Not just the Spice Girls, but, you know, the things he gets up to.
He likes the spice of his life, doesn't he?
La, 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 la,
what I will say, obviously, Max Verstappen put out a statement on Instagram stating, from my first race win to my four world championships, we've shared incredible successes, winning memorable races and breaking countless records. Thank you for everything, Christian. You know what? I will say, I do believe that even though Verstappen is one hell of a driver, and you can't take away whatever your opinion is, and even though he can be a drama lover, you can't take away he's incredible. I do believe that Red Bull were, and Christian was the person who nurtured him into the position he's in now.
Him and Helmut Marko, for sure.
Yeah, and obviously Adrian Newey as well.
Well, that's the thing, like his dad, Jos Verstappen, has never really been a big fan of.
No, Warner, he hasn't been a fan of.
I mean, that kind of brings me to the point of diving into what's going to happen with Red Bull now. Like, is that, so obviously there's the big, in fact, that's a point that I've written down that will kind of perfectly segues into, is the whole Max and Toto going, well, Max going to Mercedes and in talks with Toto. So I read that apparently the directors at Mercedes have given the all clear to get Max, whatever it takes. So
I mean, that's some serious...
Whether or not they're still 100%, like, that's what they're going to go for. I know that sounds very contradictory, but will it happen? Who knows? But with Horner gone, maybe that's what Verstappen needs to stay at Red Bull, which I know Verstappen, like, Max and Christian had a good working relationship, but obviously... Max's dad. I don't know if he's his actual manager or not, but I know he plays like a very influential role.
Citation needed on that one.
Yeah. But like, Jos Verstappen doesn't like Christian because I don't really know what it is. I just think it's down to like the decisions that Horner's made over the time.
Yeah.
But moving
swiftly on, because I'm not glad I'm sick of talking about Red Bull today.
I know, and we haven't even got one. I feel like we could have done with one.
God, I would bloody love a Red
Murder.
Bull right now.
Well,
but let's move on to, we're a bit late behind, but because of consideration of the listeners, we've left it as long as possible to not talk about it, but it is finally time to talk about the Formula One movie.
That is.
So Dom, before we get into it, give it a score out of 10.
I think as...
I have watched it again, I'm sorry without you.
I think as a casual... Formula One fan, I'd rate it a 9, but as a little bit more in-depth Formula One fan, which I guess I think that I am, I would give it an 8 personally.
Like that's interesting. I'd give it an 8
as a from the whole. I thought it was really, really good. There was a few things that in most recent weeks the storylines have been obviously proven to have been more Hollywood than real life because of things which obviously I'm sure we're going to dive into soon. But yeah, it's as Carlos said, take it with a pinch of salt. And if you do, you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah. For me, I mean, I've probably got to score a little bit lower. I mean, if as a casual, if you're going into it with the mindset of just like, you don't watch Formula One or you don't watch any form of motorsport and you've never watched motorsport, I'll probably give it an 8 out of 10. If you're a casual watcher of Formula One, I'd maybe give it a 7. If you know about Formula One, know about the logistics of how the sport works.
If you're an F1 nerd.
Yeah, no, but if not even that, if you just enjoy what like us, I'd probably give it about a 4, you know.
Really?
Yeah, after watching it again, the first time I watched it was in IMAX and I was like, wow, this is incredible. But that's because it's the experience of IMAX. But watching it again, I was like, this is mid.
Fair enough.
I know you really enjoyed it. And it
I did really enjoy it.
There was some scenes which we are gonna get into, which they were incredible and they still were like wow, but then
yeah, you can't take it away from like the cinematic aspect.
The cinematic aspects, and to be honest, the racing aspect of it was really good. It was just the little bits in between.
As I said to most people that I've kind of described it, without giving any spoilers away, is it felt more immersive than watching. It was more enjoyable than watching an actual race at times because it felt so immersive, and because there's angles that they've shot that obviously they don't have in Formula One, where it makes you feel like you're part of the racing without making it seem Hollywood. Which
the thing
is
for me
incredible.
Is that it did feel very Americanized, very Hollywood. And I've had people say to me, well, why is that a bad thing? I'm like, well, Formula One is a global sport.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's been targeted towards one nation's audience rather than, well, a global audience.
I suppose it's mostly like America that's brought F1 back to its...
Well, it's Liberty Media, isn't it? It is Liberty Media. But obviously, let's go into, obviously, the basic... the basis of the Formula One movie, which follows.
We'll go through like these mini bullet points of the storyline and talk about what you found was good in that thing. Because there's only 6 main points. Oh no, 7. So yeah, and we can go through them. So it could take us 10 minutes. It could take us 2 hours.
Before we get into that, let's go over the rough basis of the film. So the film follows Formula One driver Sonny Hayes, portrayed by Brad Pitt, a fallen Formula One prodigy, where basically he had his whole career ahead of him, and it all.
He used to drive for Lotus in the 90s.
There we go. That is correct, and we're going to go into that more detail in a second. And obviously, he has to coach rookie Josh Pierce. I still can't remember how you pronounce his name.
Joshua Pierce?
No, the actor.
Idris. Summit.
Yeah, we need citation needed. I feel really bad.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, thank you. Sonny Hayes is basically employed to be basically a team savior and to be a mentor to Joshua Pierce, who is a rookie. Obviously, what actually happens in Formula One, and from the plot line, I was like, oh, this sounds like a great idea. But yeah, basically, it's all a bit up and down and all over the place from that. But obviously, getting straight at the gate, obviously, so we are talking about Sonny Hayes first, the fallen Formula One prodigy. Former Lotus Formula One driver from the 90s, career cut short by a major crash in the 1993 Spanish Grand Prix.
Yeah, so with that, they used some footage from, and I had to Google it when we come out of the race. When we came out of the thing. Oh, yeah, his name is Damson
Idris. Yeah.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I mean, he's a bit of a frigging weapon, to be fair. You know?
He's a good-looking, handsome man, yes.
No homo.
But, the footage that they used in the F1 movie, I can't remember who the guy was from, and I was certain he died from the accident that was in
the
footage.
That's
the
one thing I will give the Formula One, the F1 movie,
yeah,
was that there was a lot of, like, archival footage used.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was used in a really good aspect of storytelling.
Well, it took something that was obviously... They changed the narrative using literal footage, which was really, 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 really good.
Yeah, they could have recreated that.
So...
The,
Pardon me. Sorry, mate. They took the real life accident of Martin Donnelly from the 1990 Spanish Grand Prix, where his Lotus splitting in half after a suspension failure at 160 miles an hour. Fucking hell. He didn't die. He just sustained severe injuries, including brain and lung contusions. Contusions? I don't know.
Concussions.
Not concussions, no, there was a T. Anyway.
Not too sure, we're not doctors. But anyway, continuing on with the movie plot, obviously. So Sonny Hayes, the fallen Formula One driver, he then spirals into a gambling, multiple divorces, and a nomadic lifestyle.
Basically, he was a player, but it didn't really work out.
But he also
well
clearly had serious psychological issues to deal with.
I think that, well, with the accident, it caused brain.
Then obviously he finds redemption winning the Daytona 24 hours or 24 hours of Daytona.
Yeah, that, to be fair, the footage that they've put in, I completely forgot, and I'm glad that that kind of these notes are here to pull it from, is the Daytona footage in there was really, really good. That felt super immersive as well. And obviously, both of us being petrol heads, the noises was just IMAX. It was incredible.
Honestly, if there's one thing I've got to give the film, is the sound design and everything. It's
the cinematic aspect of it in all ways is fantastic.
Oh, it is absolutely incredible. It really is.
I know we spoke previously on other episodes about product placement. Obviously, it's very, very aggressive from Apple.
It's insane.
Like you don't see in Formula One, you don't really see a lot of Apple, but I think that's mainly down to most of the systems that everyone uses. It's just Windows or Linux is the way to go for it.
Yeah, or it's something not custom on based.
Yeah, but that obviously being a little bit of a negative is that it's very heavily Apple forced.
And you know what? I've never seen so many product placements of fucking Ninja.
Yeah, Ninja. Yeah. Like, we were saying, because Joshua Pierce's mom is obviously from some kind of Caribbean descent.
Yeah.
And we were saying there is absolutely no way in hell that a Caribbean mother has that many different things to cook with. She has a jerk pan and a rice cooker and that's all she needs. Like,
and a crock pot, you know.
Yes, and a crock pot.
Yeah, I promise she'll make you the most delicious meals you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, but she ain't using no Ninja products.
Like the thing is
she might have an air fryer now, like in today's day and age. No,
but bro, you know what? There was a Ninja Creamy on the side and there was a Ninja slush machine.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I want to go around this house, you know.
I forgot about all the Ninja stuff in there.
Like literally.
Because they were one of the main sponsors of Apex GP, which we'll get into in a second.
And like, I get it. Like obviously there's, Formula One does have product placement. It really does. It is
It's a sport ruled by sponsors.
Yeah, ruled by advertising, rules by sponsors. Like, obviously, the minute their drivers get the cars, first thing they do is put on a watch.
Put on a watch and a cap.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where Formula One would not exist in its current form without sponsors. The sponsors rule that sport.
It couldn't 100%. Afford to.
No.
Because it is such crazy expensive.
But the product placement is OTT.
Yeah, it's too much.
Bad do. However, I want to do, not a compliment sandwich, but kind of, we dig something bad about the film, but I want to give it something really good. And this is something my sister pointed out here, which is fantastic from the film. It's perfectly diverse in a racial context, in a gender context, but like it's so perfectly diverse.
It's not.
You don't notice it.
No, that's what I mean. It's
not like forced, like a lot of things are, like how a lot of corporations during Pride Month, the first thing everyone does is put their pride flag in their profile picture
or in the company logo. Yeah. Like it felt very inclusive, but it wasn't forced inclusivity. It just felt like it.
Well, tell me that you noticed that before. No, you look back at it and go, actually, and that's again, my sister pointed that out to me, where she was like, because obviously there's a lot of women involved in the mechanic side, and obviously we're going to get into that more in the story.
Obviously there is.
I'm not saying that there isn't in Formula One, but you don't see them broadcast, especially on the television, as much as obviously it is men. Whereas,
maybe more so in Formula One Academy.
Yeah, understandably.
But that's the whole point of Formula One Academy, was to highlight women.
It's to bring women into Formula One, isn't it?
What, into motorsport, into Formula series of races.
But I think that is, I didn't notice it, and that's how diversity should be done, where it doesn't need to be forced. It should be second nature. So it was really, really good.
Continuing on, obviously, with the storyline, this is when we get introduced into Apex GP. So Dom, take it away.
So Brad Pitt's, well, no, Sonny Hayes, portrayed by Brad Pitt's ex-teammate Ruben Cervantes, owns the Apex GP team, currently last in the constructor standings, and they're struggling. They're doing real bad. And he...
And was a ninja man.
They're doing a real bad man. Anyway, so obviously in that part of the movie, Ruben approaches Sonny and...
Yeah, he sort of tracks him down, doesn't he?
Yeah, and tries to sell the dream of him doing well in Formula One again. And like, come on, basically it's like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing fantastic. And then it slowly escalates into, no, actually, please, like, I need you, bro.
We're doing shit. We need
someone good, man. And it's quite heartfelt. I feel like that was a good part of the film.
And don't get me wrong, like, for me, you know what it reminded me of? You remember when Patronus started and that Mark Schumacher?
Yeah.
It felt a bit like that. I know I've said, like, you never see a rookie come back to Formula, not rookie, like a legend return back to Formula One after they've retired.
Yeah.
You do every now and then, but they do tend to not do as well.
Yeah, well, Schumacher didn't do as
no,
well.
No, Schumacher didn't.
Alonso, again, hasn't done as well. I mean, Alonso's doing okay now, but I don't think he's got much longer left.
Not as much as is, but obviously after that, so he gives him a ticket to the Apex GP.
I think it was at Silverstone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Silverstone, actually, but basically to London.
Yeah, he buys him a plane ticket. Well, gives him a plane ticket. It's like, maybe you come, maybe you don't.
He's like, this plane leaves in like, wasn't it like 2 days or something?
Something. Have a think. And if you want to come, jump on the plane.
If not, and obviously they were all like umming and ahhing. Obviously, he then walks down the pit lane at Silverstone.
That next page.
And I'll be totally honest, this was the first little bit of
Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is where it starts to get a bit. There's a few parts of the film that are very Hollywood, but the most of it is actually pretty good and accurate. So, but do you want to dive us into?
So first people that Sonny meets, he walks down the pit lane, walks down. Ruben's like, they're like, who the fuck's this? Ruben's like, this could be our saving grace.
Yeah, because they were talking about a new driver, weren't they?
Yeah, about potentially recruiting another person who is basically Joshua Pierce's.
You meet Joshua Pierce for the first time, who's the rookie teammate that he's about to be. Well, the rookie second driver who Sonny's about to become the first driver for, essentially.
But basically, before that, obviously, Joshua and Casper are talking about their new driver, who's going to be driver one, who's going to be driver two, and the potential new driver cannot remember his name for the life of me.
Me either.
Him and Joshua Pierce are basically... They're basically Lewis and Max Verstappen initially.
Yeah, they're very...
they're very chalk and cheese.
Yeah, well, obviously Josh sees Sonny as a threat. There's a lot of tension built from that.
That's before that. But obviously you're also introduced to the technical director, which is Kate McKenna, who we'll talk about later again. But obviously, what happens... again, sorry, if you're in this now, the spoilers are about to get really intense.
Yeah.
So strap in. If not, turn off. We take no offense. Come back and we'll
this isn't an episode we're going to judge about statistics on at all.
Absolutely not. But then obviously they're all giving it the big end. Sonny saying, oh well, he's an old man,
old, what does he know? Yeah,
what does he know? He hasn't been in this sport fucking years. And then he was like give me his help and I guarantee I'll be half a second off. And you know what, to be fair,
he was doing really... Do you know what? He did a Kimi Antonelli when he first got in the Mercedes for the first time, when he jumped in George's Mercedes, set one fucking belter of a lap and then binned it. And that's exactly what Sonny did.
I will say, I remember your dad saying something about the tyres. He was like, tyres would never smoke like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the way that he crashed, and because he locked up, didn't he? Something like that.
Yeah, and it's the way he exits the pit as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, so that happens, and obviously they give him a little rundown of the car, and that was the first sort of thing where the story broke down a little bit for me.
Yeah,
in continuity, because if you look at, say, the 90s Formula One cars versus the 2025, which is the era one, which is the current shape car, the technological gap between them is massive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what anyone says, you couldn't put anybody...
You couldn't just jump. You can be a good race driver, but
obviously, like, there's so much you have to know about those cars.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that the story broke down for me, because I was like, for fuck's sake, I thought we were doing well. But I let that slide because I thought, it's Hollywood.
It's Hollywood, and it would kind of take away a lot from the story if they sat down and went, here's your DRS button, this is your brake bias, this is your differential bias, and it's like...
Yeah.
I think for a lot of the people that are casual fans... That
wouldn't bother them too much.
I feel like it'd be a bit too much. It's very informative. Maybe a director's cut, who knows?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
But then obviously, so all that happens, and then we move on to the first race that Sonny does, which was, ironically, Silverstone. We've timed that perfectly. Yeah,
the British GP. Well, the...
And I feel this is where...
this is the part where it kind of shows that he's an old driver in a new car, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think subconsciously, I think for how the
I mean, obviously the ironic joke was Carlos Sainz 2 weeks ago. What race was it 2 weeks ago?
Austria.
Obviously, everyone was saying that Carlos Sainz did a Sonny Hayes.
Yeah.
So this is where the point in the movie comes from, and the whole joke is where basically he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
That he's basically got to use the clutch on the steering wheel.
Yeah. So to kind of break down that Carlos Sainz doing a Sonny Hayes scene in as short as I possibly can go with it is they go to start the formation lap and everyone shoots off, but Sonny couldn't get off the line because, as Sam said, he didn't know what he was doing with the clutch and how to do, you know, a race start essentially. But realistically, in his head, he kind of does know what he's doing, but he's purposely creating it, like stalling himself so that he can go off and do a faster formation lap to get more heat into the tyres, more heat into the brakes. And then when he gets to the back of the grid, his tyres are warmer while everyone else is colder because so they've been sat hard there, and he can push harder and gain a bigger advantage on the drive to the first corner. As obviously, this was proven... not accurate because of when Sainz went to do pretty much the same thing, not obviously intentional, I would hope. But
it'd be fucking hilarious.
He'd seen the movie long before any of us had. So yeah. If he had a chance to do it before anyone knew what was going on in the film. So, but when Sainz did it, he was forced to do a pit start. So, and didn't even start because his brakes were on fire and he had to retire.
Well, that was definitely cinematic.
Yeah, and to be honest, Silverstone,
some artistic licensing.
Yes, artistic. Yes, that's certainly a way to put it. The British Grand Prix for Apex really wasn't very good, and Sonny disobeys some team orders and collides with Joshua. And
basically, they're fighting for.
They weren't even fighting for points, were they?
They were fighting for the back of the grid two positions, weren't they?
Something ridiculous like that. And yeah, it didn't work out.
And then,
well,
like, if I remember, like they're like, don't they like give an order like for to let Joshua pass, and he's like, he's got to race me.
Yeah. It was.
And I think, again, like, crap like that does happen. And then obviously we move on to the next race of the season.
Which?
Obviously, so Sonny Hayes obviously has been working through, working with the car. The fun thing I did enjoy, the Apex GP was McLaren.
Yeah.
And what made me laugh about that was that seeing all the Formula One fans when we were in the cinema, you just heard everyone make the same comment when it first shows the Apex GP headquarters. It's just McLaren. It was like,
McLaren and Woking.
It was at McLaren. My favourite thing about that whole thing as well is that, and it is, I do want to talk about the soundtrack as well, but we'll get into that in a sec. But obviously, the Just Keep Watching Me music video was filmed in Woking.
Yeah.
It was literally filmed on their rolling road.
Nice.
Which is hilarious.
I didn't actually know that.
Banger.
I don't think I've watched the music video, to be fair.
It's a good video.
Okay.
But yeah, moving back onto the movie, obviously, so a turning point in Hungary.
So obviously, from the race start at Silverstone for Apex and Sonny, it's quite obvious that he uses the rule bending tactics, and what he does during the Hungarian Grand Prix is keeps having lots of minor collisions or incidents that aren't penalised for him.
Yeah,
he's not actually doing anything wrong. It's just a racing incident, and he keeps causing safety cars.
He just ripped the front wing off his car.
Yeah, or like just clip something and, oh no, I've got a puncture, where he obviously ends up finishing last. But
it's pushing Joshua Pearce up the grid.
I was going to say, he uses, it's kind of like Crashgate all over again, isn't it?
Where, yeah, literally.
He uses his kind of unfortunate events to give Joshua the advantage to pit more or first or whatever to gain the advantage, and obviously scores Apex GP's first points, which the team principal, Ruben, his ex-teammate, one of the kind of things was investors were threatening to sell the team unless they win at least one of the 9 remaining races. So we're 2 races in, and I can't remember if he won it or not. I think it was just points, really, but that was a big deal because they had 9, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
and obviously I remember that, like, at that point you start seeing, because obviously it's helping Joshua score his first points, obviously the relationship between the two starts to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
They start to meet. And obviously it's quite funny because you see obviously Joshua's was very new, like using like react walls.
Yeah.
And like while using react grids.
And Sonny's like just really old school.
With 3 tennis balls, literally, yeah. Just, and you know, I get that because that is an unbelievable way to become,
yeah, have fast reflexes. That's what it is, yeah. Really, isn't it? Like, I think that, one, like, of the, go on.
And that was it was nice in that aspect to see, well, the old way and the new way meeting.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we talked about the relationship between Sonny and Joshua kind of getting a little bit better, but I do remember at this point in the film, it was. Josh was still really, really hesitant.
He was unsure.
And then I think one of my favourite, like, kind of little story spin-offs of the entire film was JP's mom.
Yeah.
Being like, because he was talking, it was in that kitchen scene mainly, where Josh is talking to his mom about this new guy that's just starting at the team. Obviously, yeah. Going back in the story a bit here. But and then he's going, oh yeah, this new guy, like, he's old, he's a bit of an asshole, like this, that, the other. And then when JP's mom meets Sonny for the first time, she's like, oh, he's handsome, because, you know, it's Brad Pitt. So, but
yeah,
it's like, oh, it's like, JP, you need to like watch your lip, otherwise he's gonna lick up your mother. You
know, otherwise you're gonna start calling dad.
Yeah. So, but
yeah, funny shit. But yeah, obviously then like they start looking at upgrading the car, looking at upgrading the aero, which again is true, that happens in Formula One.
Yeah, it's like, well, I think the way that Kate McKenna really pushes the it's really hard to kind of get out what I've got in my head here, but the way that she tells the technical side of like Formula One and the team without being A, confusing, and B, boring, really.
Yeah.
It kind of pushes a lot in the film that I feel is really good.
So. I felt her role was really good, you know?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Like, and obviously, like, there's the scene when they're at Woking, at Apex GP, where, like, Sonny goes in and she's, like, developing a new wing.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Sonny starts asking questions about it, but, like, she's like, well, no, why would I want to do that? And he's like, but this would be better for this car.
Again, that was more of a old school, new school thing as well, wasn't it? So yeah.
Yeah, and it was good. But obviously then we move on for me.
Monza. But it wasn't Monza, it was Brands Hatch, wasn't it?
It was Brands Hatch. And so if you are gonna do a track day at Brands Hatch at any point in the next sort of year or so, all the Apexes are painted like Monza.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of Monza and Spa.
It's probably a lot cheaper to rent Brands Hatch for, you know, a week for filming than it is for,
I'll be honest, they just probably 50 grand,
yeah,
if that, versus
Monza would be spending, I would imagine. Monza mainly would, because it's a Formula One circuit. Because it's got the highest grade of FIA homologation, whereas Brands Hatch I think is only it's like second, something like that. So it's still, you know,
it's still like a world class circuit, but it's big in superbikes.
Yeah, well, Brands Hatch isn't suitable for formula cars, basically.
No, it's not big enough.
Yeah, so.
But anyway, we digress. So obviously, we are actually at Monza in the movie, and it is a wet race.
We love a wet race.
Like, we do bloody love a wet race.
This, do you know what? I feel like this was a good a good scene overall, the whole Monza thing.
Do you know what? Like, I've seen people, especially on like social media, like TikTok and things, people saying like, oh, things like this would never happen in Formula One. And I watched it and I was like, that 100% would happen.
Well, things like that have happened in Formula One, just it's been that long ago.
And the cars are a lot safer now. A lot of the new fans wouldn't have remembered those sort of things.
Like when Nigel Mansell, I think it was, brought Senna around and he was just sat on the side of his car. Obviously, we're going to get to the point of why I'm bringing that up in a second.
Like, obviously, again, so it says, like, obviously, rain chaos. So obviously, they're climbing to the grid. They're doing really well as a team. Sonny basically says to Joshua, go for slicks. It's just about dry enough.
Yeah.
You'll be, like, if you push hard enough.
You're getting flashbacks to Silverstone there.
I know. No, but obviously, right, you just throwing me off.
It's all right. Sonny wants slicks.
Yeah.
Sonny wants slicks, but...
And Joshua also gambles.
Yeah.
For slicks and goes.
Finally gets up and gets into P2.
Behind Max Verstappen. Fuck off, mate. You are dripped up in Red Bull.
I am. But no, I weren't huffing at Max Verstappen. I was huffing about what's about to happen.
Yeah, so for me, this was actually one of the most...
it was really good, seemed very realistic scene,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, like, I mean, as I said, when we were...
It was very almost heartstringy pulling kind of thing, wasn't it?
The thing that was nice, there was no cinematic score for it. It was just the noise of a crash.
It was a crash. So,
so Josh basically is coming down, it would have been the main straight.
Yeah, he was coming up the main straight on Monza and he's absolutely gunning it and he's like...
Going to pass Verstappen.
Sonny says, don't pass him on the straight. Don't do it. Wait for the corner.
Wait for the corner because you'll lose your car.
Yeah, and he didn't listen and he literally crashed into Verstappen. And it was violent, weren't it? It was proper aggressive.
The car went airborne and flipped like 3 or 4 times.
It's almost like a Webber.
And that's the thing, like people have said, and I've seen online, like, and obviously some of the younger people who I know who watch Formula One, they've said, oh, a crash like that would never happen. I was like, it has happened though.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was going to say, like Mark Webber's crash.
Well, Mark Webber's crash, that was quite a while ago, but because obviously this was a big, like, fire, inferno wreckage.
It was,
Roman Grosjean,
and he was like, fuck this shit, I'm never racing again.
Yeah. And that's it, it pushed JP out of the race for...
Yeah.
Well, out of the championship for quite a little bit. It was a few races, really. They had another guy step in, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
basically they had that. I think it was the fill-in driver who they were meant to have.
Yeah, who was meant to replace. Well, who was meant to be alongside.
For me, he didn't have enough main character energy, you know, to be
noticeable. I don't even remember what his name or what he looked like. But then,
Joshua...
Well, and Sonny... that note just on the end there, Sonny saves him from the burning wreckage.
Yeah, Sonny does. Literally runs over, pulls him out the car.
Yeah. I don't know if he crashed and that's why he got out, or whether he just pulled over.
I think he literally like ran over, jumped out and got him.
Yeah.
So then we move on to the Belgian GP of the movie.
Yeah.
So obviously Josh is before in the gaps between this, Josh is basically he was in hospital.
He wasn't in a good way, was he?
No, he was fucked up.
Josh's mom
pulls Sonny to the side and was like, if you ever put my son in a fucking dangerous position like that again.
When, like, realistically, she didn't know that he was the one that was
That is explained later on in the movie as well. But going on to Josh, to the Belgian GP, obviously, we've had races without Joshua. And obviously, he returns. And they end up both crashing with a DNF again.
Well, I was going to say, Josh is still bitter against, like, him. What he's upset about is the fact that Sonny's said to him, don't do it, you're going to crash. And then he does it and crashes and he's pissed off at him, but realistically he's pissed off at himself sort of thing.
Yeah, 100%. Sonny Hayes and Joshua aren't getting on. They really aren't getting on. So what happens is that Kate, obviously the technical director,
yes,
pulls them both in. Basically, they both get sent a letter saying team dinner tonight at this restaurant.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck's sake, gonna have to go. And it's literally just her,
Josh, and Sonny.
And basically what happens is they all end up playing poker. And it's quite funny because you see a real bonding moment in that sort of hypercut between them all, which is quite nice.
Very nice.
Obviously, JP's manager.
Yeah.
Comes and pulls him away. And obviously,
Well, she. I think he goes to pull him away, and he's like, no, let me finish the game, doesn't he?
Yeah, something and like he like goes, okay, all in, and Sonny goes all in as well, if I remember correctly.
No, Sonny folds.
Yeah, Sonny does fold. Yeah, yeah,
he folds, and obviously you don't see his hand. And Josh is all cocky, like, you know, I've won. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I've beaten this like amazing poker
player. This guy is meant to be good at the gambling guy, and
it turns out that Sonny just absolutely poke faced him.
Yeah, so Sonny folded a winning hand. I can't remember what the hand was, but I know it was quite a.
I want to say it's like four aces or something.
It was something ridiculous.
It was a powerful hand. But anyway, after that, what you haven't put in the notes is at that point Brad Pitt ends up copping off.
Yeah, with the technical director.
My favourite thing of that whole scene was 5 minutes later in the movie, you just hear ding, 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 and it's just Ruben at the door.
Yeah.
Is Sonny in there? No.
No.
Yeah, he's coming inside. He's just there buttoning up his shirt and he's like, for fuck's sake, Sonny, can you keep it in your pants?
Well, as we mentioned quite early on, you know, he was a bit of a ladies man, and
he was the abominable home man.
Gambling, nomadic lifestyle, abominable home man, you know, we've done the gambling, and now he's goes underway. But do you know what, again, something else that we've got to give the film really good is the whole romance side of the film.
Oh, it didn't take over the film.
It weren't too much. It weren't like, that wasn't the main point of the film.
No, definitely not.
It was literally just kind of a little bit of a side story that adds to the main plot rather than just there. Yeah. Like for romance people to enjoy.
I think it reinforces the side of the film. But obviously, moving on, we then go to Vegas. Now, Vegas.
Well, they're in Vegas, aren't they? Because it's, I think.
Yeah, this
gambling. They were gambling in the hotel in Vegas, I think it was, weren't it? Because if you remember, he comes out onto the balcony.
Yeah, that's in the wrong place. So, yeah.
But the Vegas race.
No, before the Vegas race was when they're in the nightclub, when they're in Omnia.
I don't know.
That's the nightclub that's got all the moving stuff.
I can't believe this isn't in the notes. You know, I know where you're going.
So obviously, a lovely lady goes up to JP and's like, oh, are you in Formula One? She's like, and he's like, yeah. Can you introduce me to Carlos Sainz?
The funniest thing is, he's like, yeah, I'll go get him. Then just like walks off and he's like, right, see ya.
And then he's like, yeah, I just don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Like, and then obviously, I do feel that JP's manager was very much like there as using him for the clout.
Yeah.
Rather than actually taking advantage
of his best interests. It wasn't bad, but he definitely wasn't good either.
No, he wasn't. I felt he was a very toxic character, to be honest. But anyway, we move on to the Vegas race.
So before the race weekend, this is, isn't it?
They've developed this new front wing and they've developed all this aero that's been working really well for them.
Allowing them to get, you know, more points and whatnot.
And basically some documents from an undisclosed source at this point in the movie.
Well, it was internal documents, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. Internal documents from an undisclosed source were...
Leaked.
Leaked onto the FIA. And obviously they were forced, if you want to continue to race, you've got to race
with your old parts.
With your old aero.
Because they were accused of these illegal upgrades, which when they're presented with them and the FIA are investigating, they're like, well, where did you get this information? And obviously they can't say and this, that, because it's still under investigation. But she's then suspended by the FIA. And as Sam said, they're not allowed, they have to use the old parts for the Vegas Grand Prix. And getting into the race, obviously Sonny crashes.
Yeah, from so basically his frustration. Sonny does a Kimi Raikkonen and he's like, no more radio.
Yeah, no more radio for the rest of the race.
But yeah, he literally like sort of just goes, well, he just goes rogue and he puts his car into qualifying mode.
Yeah.
It's burning fuel so he can go as fast as possible. And obviously they're getting worried about the tyres and everything and he crashes. So then obviously he wakes back up in hospital. If you remember that.
Yeah, yes.
To be greeted by Ruben, and Ruben basically reads his medical report from 1993.
Yes.
And he's like, you should be fucking dead.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
As you said, you know, he should pretty much be dead because he found out that the old injury that he sustained back in 1993 was degenerative. So.
Yeah.
And obviously Ruben didn't know about that, and given all that situation, he sacks him from the team.
Yeah, because obviously he's trying to protect his...
well, his life, so...
So obviously moving on though, what actually happens after that is that one of the investors for Apex GP, he's the person, I can't remember his name, but he's the one who leaks the documents.
Yeah, so, well, Sonny was offered the team principal role in a secret plan from that guy, whoever he was, the scumbag. And that's how he discovers... as Sam just said, that he was the guy that leaked these documents that weren't, well, they were forged. That's the important thing.
So yeah, just to finish off on what Dom said, so obviously like basically that what they want to sell Apex GP to a new investor.
Yeah.
Whether that would be under the Apex GP brand or under something else, with Sonny being the team principal. So basically you would have a legacy. Sonny obviously is basically like, yeah, get fucked.
Get fucked. America.
Absolutely not. But then moving on, obviously, we get to the final, Abu Dhabi.
Oh, God.
Why did they have to fucking do it in Abu Dhabi, you know?
Abu Dhabi. The thing is, right, so let's get through it and then talk about our gripes with that. Because it's not the actual, like, scene that's that bad. It's the contents of the scene and how the movie plays out and how certain people involved with the dramatisation of this scene absolutely okayed it and was happy to relive the, oh yeah,
like, yeah, honestly. So Joshua finally makes peace with Sonny. They sort themselves out.
He accepts responsibility for
the Monza crash,
of not listening to Sonny.
Obviously at this point Sonny doesn't have a seat.
Yeah.
So basically Sonny basically tells Ruben, stop being a twat.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, they're crap to it. I'm the guy you need right now.
Yep.
Throughout the whole film, something we haven't spoke about either is the plans. So obviously Formula One teams have like plan A, plan B, plan C.
Yeah.
So like when they'd have like the pre-race meetings, you'd have plan A, mm-hmm, and plan B, and then plan C would always be for plan chaos.
Yeah.
Which I feel that has definitely slipped through the cracks with us on that one.
A little bit.
The thing for me, and
I'm
that's
glad
what,
you remembered it.
And that's what kind of fucked me off with the film, was that like, if you have a literal plan to cause chaos on track, like Sonny Hayes would not have lasted this long in a race.
No,
we're gonna get to that in a second. But obviously, so Sonny ends up racing again. The FIA clears Kate's upgrades and they get reinstated back onto the car,
which makes it quick again.
Which makes it crazy quick. Obviously, then we see the grid sort of like, well, we watch the race at Abu Dhabi. It comes to the final few turns on the last few laps. And what happens, Dominic?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to fucking delegate it. So, JP and Hamilton collide. No. Yes.
Well, they're battling out.
But they're battling out. And... basically Hamilton is pretty much in the lead, I think, and then I can't remember, and I haven't made a good note of that here.
Hamilton was leading the race.
Hamilton was basically about to take the championship with, well, being in the Mercedes at the front, obviously set from 2024 this is, so, but yeah, and there's, oh no, it's all like in my head and all spang-dangled.
Finish.
So basically, Lewis ends up colliding with Josh, and because of that, Sonny takes the
P1,
wins the race, obviously. And
with
that's
Charles
their,
Leclerc in P2.
Yeah, and that's their, that's obviously that one race win that they need to keep the investors and everything happy so that they don't have to sell the team and this, that, the other.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But so obviously Lewis Hamilton was what, executive director?
Executive producer.
Executive producer, that's it, of the film. Why did he feel like it was acceptable for Abu Dhabi to be the race that cons him once again?
I don't know, vengeance.
It's just
making a point. I think the thing is, obviously, at the end of the movie, then goes on to basically, he leaves.
There's a lot of drama in that Abu Dhabi race, though, isn't there? There's a lot of crashes and
oh, mate,
bits
it's
and
ridiculous. But what I was going to say is...
it was very Hollywood. the last race.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it needed to be.
But at the end of the film, obviously, then Sonny Hayes packs his bags, grabs his hat and disappears into the wind again to then go and do Dakar, because apparently winning a Formula One race
was... No, but it wasn't Dakar, it was the California Baja Desert 1000.
Yes, it was a Baja, so I thought it was Dakar.
It's very similar.
It's basically the same sort of race.
And also, after the race, we'll just jump straight over it. JP, the young rookie, turns down a seat at Mercedes.
Yeah, that was a fun
Toto. That was a good cameo, wasn't it?
That was a fun cameo. From my favourite thing about watching that as well is watching Toto doing all the different voiceovers in different languages.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, then obviously somebody goes to, so Toto, what languages can you speak? And he goes to all the languages that he spoke. And he went, I wish I could speak more. And they were like, what language do you think? And he's like, English. It's crazy, no? But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of them ones where it's an okay film, but it does feel like it could have been better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I honestly give it like 7-8, personally. Yeah. It could have been a tiny, tiny bit more, or well, less Hollywood, maybe a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know. I generally thought overall it was quite good. It was a good kind of, it gave me Williams vibes, even though yeah. Williams were a championship team. That's the only way I can look at it, really.
I feel, to be honest, it felt very much like the story of like, yeah, of Williams.
Williams after Claire Williams finally sold the team and left JV in charge.
I think the thing is as well, for me, one of the things that would have been actually, for the film, my biggest gripe was that I understand that obviously they have to fabricate stories, but there was a lot of things that I wish they could have just done, or just done a story about a Formula, like, say for example, if the F1 movie is about Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I know like there's going to be people who are going to be like, oh, it's just because Hamilton's a fan. No, it's not, because he's the most successful Formula One driver of all time. I mean, he is a wunderkind story.
Yeah,
like coming from nothing, working his way up. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming Lewis will get a biopic at some point.
I would hope so, or you would at least hope so, wouldn't you? Like, it's
right. So I think that pretty much covers it for the Formula One movie. I mean, as I said, I know Dom enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. It was a good movie.
I thought it was really good.
There was parts where I just thought, this is a bit bollocks.
This is a bit of bollocks.
This is a bit bullshitty, you know. But yeah, I mean, moving swiftly on from the Formula One movie, it is Spa.
Yeah, so the next episode of the pod, so a week from today, you will be hearing our pre-Spa show where we will finally make our Spa predictions. What else we will talk about on that episode, I don't know. That is yet to be decided. We might dig deep into maybe Spa 98. The wet one.
Yeah, the one where it's like the biggest crash of all time in Formula One.
I think it was the least race finishes.
Yeah, that was the year that Jordan won, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jordan had a 1-2.
Obviously, you can't see the Jordan F1 car is hanging from our roof now.
Yeah.
I hope you all do like this new set that we've got. I like it, you know, it's bougie.
It's good. It's great.
It sounds better on audio as well.
Always good. But yeah, so next week's topic, you know, we might do Spa. We don't even know what it is yet, but we'll figure it out. We'll get there and we'll make our Spa predictions and we'll talk about all things Spa and yeah. And then
lovely
back
jubbly.
From that, Spa, we got a couple more races and then we're in the mid-season break.
Which obviously I think there may be a week or two where there might not be an episode.
Yeah, I think
just so we can.
I think maybe in the mid-season break we'll probably do a little bit of potential live streaming of F1 25.
Yeah, potentially, and there is also a big box up there which we can't show you right now.
Yeah,
we'll build.
We'll do some YouTube videos
of the block style. But I feel that might be a next door job.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel that needs to be a properly polished, beautiful video.
Yeah.
But then that
I think it'll be more videos and things during the mid-season break.
But Dom, where can we find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook, wherever you shall fancy. I'm probably on it. What about you, Sam?
Pretty much same. You can find me on everything at Sentio Silvano. Where can you find the pod?
The pod is, as always, at Box 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 Pod I've realised as well, you know, with YouTube,
yes,
doing a search, if you just search box, box, box on YouTube, we're not very high up there. And when you search box, 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 and then space, pod or podcast, it's very hard for us to come up. So if you're listening to this and you want to watch the YouTube stuff, if you just put in box, 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 pod, or one word, it will definitely come up. But just thought we'll throw that in there for...
Yeah.
For anyone well,
we're
that's
trying,
trying
to build the YouTube channel a little bit more. I mean, obviously, we literally don't make a penny off this. This is all self-funded, but we are looking for somebody to sort of.
We're always looking for a little sponsor.
Yeah, a little sponsor.
Keep things under control.
More than just to help cover some of the operational costs of doing this.
Drinks, foods, businesses, NordVPN, Raid Shadow Legends. Whatever.
We're not doing a Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, I know. I had that conversation the other day, didn't I? I couldn't openly like support something like that. Like if you want to sponsor us, I'm down for it. But if it's a garbage product or like
we're only gonna take sponsors from brands we actually would use ourselves.
Yeah, if you're like, oh yeah, try this drink and it tastes like cat piss, I'm not going to be here and say box, 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 sponsored by Capis.
That is some short form content ready to go if I've ever seen
it. But we'd love to get in touch, and I'm sure whatever it is that you want us to promote is fantastic.
But on that, thank you so much as always for listening and for watching on the Tubes.
Yes, it's been a good one.
It's been a fun one. Right, we'll see you very soon. We'll see you next week.
Ready for Spa. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.